are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And on today's episode, this will be part two of my conversation with David Gasper of Reviewing the Brew. And on this episode, we'll strictly be talking about prospects. So if you're a big prospect nerd like I am, like David is, it's going to be a great episode for you. David does a top 50 list of Brewers prospects over at Prospects 1500, so obviously knows his stuff. So really good conversation with him, and here it is. Let's move the conversation over to prospects for a little while. What you love talking about here over at Prospects 1500, you haven't, make sure you go ahead and check him out. There's a top 50 list there. Could be having one coming out here pretty soon, the next month or so. So make sure you check that out, an updated list there. But let's talk prospects. Who are some prospects in the Brewers system that have impressed you the most so far?
Well, Joe Greig Jr., I think, comes to the top of everyone's mind right now. He's just been lighting it up in low A. He had some really tough seasons after getting drafted. Tough numbers in rookie ball in 2018 and in 2019. Hitting below 200 at both of those years. So I had him like down in the 40s on my top 50 list. Like I had him way down there. Like he was a second round pick and he's a great athlete. But you know, I think I said in my little blurb about him, like I need to see it to believe it, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, he seems to have gotten better. I need to see it. Well, I've seen it. He's better. he's gotten really good, great athlete, showing up really well. So he's been making a huge jump in my next update that should be coming out next month. And Ernesto Martinez, also on the Carolina Mudcats, he's been showing really well. Haven't seen him playing quite as much in recent days. I'm not sure if he's dealing with a nagging injury or something. But Ernesto, I mean, he was hitting like 300 with, you know, a whole bunch of homers, and he was leading the team in stolen bases for a little while too. At 6'6" and 230 pounds and a first baseman, he was leading the team in stolen bases. You know, he's just had a really electric start. I really like him. He maybe could be a first baseman of the future. We'll see. But he's someone who's really shown well. It's really great to see that. Another couple of guys that are doing really well in the lower levels, down in high A Wisconsin. You got Corey Howell and you got David Hamilton, who are performing extremely well. They're getting on base a lot. Hamilton is just stealing a ridiculous amount of bases. I went to the game, on June 2nd against Peoria, where Hamilton stole six bases in a game. It's nuts. He's got 80 grade speed. And he's been hitting, he's been getting on base. You know, you see guys like, you know, Billy Hamilton or whoever that are fast, but they can't hit and they can't get on base to utilize that speed. But Hamilton can hit, he can get on base. He can draw walks. He can get base hits. So there's a lot to like there, and he could be a top of the order type guy going forward.
Yeah. I remember me and you talking about David Hamilton at the beginning of the year, when you came on the podcast to talk about your top 50 list. And you know, he's somebody in Texas that I really liked. I didn't know he had this kind of speed though. He's taking it to another
level. He's fast, man.
Yeah. He's taking it to another level here. Somebody else at the lower levels that I've been talking about a lot on the podcast, I'll do a minor league update every Friday, is Felix Valerio, 20-year-old out of the Dominican Republic. It seems like every week I look at his stats and he's been really consistent all year, hitting 333. 952 ops, 14 stolen bases. He's just 5'7", 165, so obviously not a ton of power coming from out of him, but I've been really impressed with him so far, what he's done down at the lower levels. Again, just 20 years old, so doesn't have a long track record, but he's somebody that I've been impressed with early on.
Yeah, the return one piece of the return in the Keon Broxton trade.
Yeah.
All the way back then when the Brewers basically fleeced Brody Van Wagenen and the Mets. But yeah, I mean, Valerio's hitting 333 OPS over 950. And he is striking out far less than Joe Gray Jr. I mean, Joe Gray's had a great start for sure, but Joe Gray has 49 strikeouts and 149 at-bats. Valerio has just 23 strikeouts and 141 at-bats. Yeah. So he's been making a lot more contact. He's been, he's not striking out, which you really love to see. And he's been hitting the ball extremely well. I mean, you know, in the future, I don't think he's a starting infielder at any spot, you know, possibly second base. I think he's more of a utility guy going forward, but he's lighting it up in low A. And perhaps he could put himself in line for a promotion soon. But high A Wisconsin is also pretty loaded with infielders there, with some top infield prospects. So, you know, we'll see. But he's a young kid. He's been playing extremely well.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move up to the higher levels here and talk about some of the bigger prospects for the Brewers. We'll start with Garrett Mitchell, who got off to a hot start. Granted, it was like four games and then got hurt and was out for a while. And then it's been kind of, you know, slow coming back. I see him in lineups like every other game, it seems like. But, I mean, when he's been in there, he's been really good. Obviously, the Brewers' top prospect by many people. But your just thoughts on Mitchell so far? He had the big spring training. A lot of people were thinking maybe he would start the year in the major league club, which is kind of ridiculous.
No.
Some people thinking maybe he would start at AAA or even AA, but they got him at high Wisconsin. But your thoughts on Garrett Mitchell?
Yeah, Mitchell's fantastic. I got to see him when I went to that Timber Rattlers game. Got to see his first home run of the season, just dead center, three-run blast. It was beautiful.
Now you got to go to every game when he gets called up to the Brewers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I kind of want to go see him a whole bunch more now before he ends up getting promoted to Biloxi, because that's a much longer drive heading to Biloxi.
That's more in my neck of the woods. I can go watch him down here.
Oh, yeah. So you're waiting on him to get promoted there. So, but yeah, so I got to go as many times as I can. But, yeah, they've been very careful with him with that knee injury and coming back, because – they do not want to risk further injury. They want to keep this guy on track. So, you know, if it means he only plays every other day for a little bit, you know, I guess they'll take that. But I mean, in 16 games, he's got 7 stolen bases already. He's got 3 extra base hits. He's walked more than he struck out, which you really like to see, which you really don't see enough of in the game anymore. But, you know, the thing with Mitchell and the thing that'll kind of dictate how quickly he moves through the system is his power. They know he's got the hitting ability. They know he's got the ability to get on base, draw walks, play strong defense in center field. But what's going to determine how quickly he moves is his power. Will it show up? How soon will it show up? How much will they get out of it? Because he's got plenty of raw power in there. It's shown in batting practice. You know, it's just a matter of getting to it in games. When I saw him play, he got to it. Which is great. So, but now it's just a matter of getting that more consistently and tapping into that power. And I really like that they put him now in the 3 spot in the order. I remember in the beginning of the year, they had him batting leadoff. But I think the 3 hole is a good spot for him because that's where, you know, it's kind of more of a focus on, you know, driving the ball and getting in and getting those home runs and getting runs in. Whereas in the leadoff spot, it's more just kind of get on base, set the table for the other guys. So I think that'll be helpful for his mindset and helpful for him tapping into that power more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to see what Mitchell can do. And like I said, they're going to slow play any kind of injury with him. There's no point in rushing him at this point.
Decades of data show that investors who trade the individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower your taxes you pay as you invest. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/alockedonMLB. Again, to get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/alockedonMLB. That's WealthFront.com/alockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com
/LockedOnMLB once again and get started today.
Somebody who's really impressed me, and I watch a lot more AA games than anything else, just because that's where my hometown is. They have the AA team. Bryce Terang, I was not sold on him coming into the year, but he started to turn me a little bit in spring training, but I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him with Biloxi. I think he could be the shortstop of the future for this team. He's looked really good defensively at the plate, and he's been, you know, really great offensively here of late, but is he the future shortstop for this team?
That's so tough for, you know, being the future shortstop of the Brewers, because, you know, when you look at the major league situation right now and you look at Willie Adames coming in and taking over that role, you know, Adames is under team control for the next three seasons. So if Adames is what the Brewers expect him to be, he's here for at least three more years. And then what do you do with Terang? And that's kind of where I had the article up on Reviewing the Brew the other day about, you know, could Terang be a trade chip at the deadline if they need to go get themselves, you know, a high powered third baseman or first baseman or, you know, whoever's available. And it has to cost them one of their top prospects. I think the addition of Adames makes Terang a little bit more expendable, but don't get me wrong. I love Terang. I'm in like no hurry to actually deal him. Just kind of from an objective point of view, that could happen. But yeah, he's been hitting well. You know, he doesn't showcase big power, but, you know, he hits well, and he's the youngest guy in AA South, I believe. And he's hitting .275. So you really kind of can't complain much at all there. Plays a great shortstop. I think he could be that guy in the big leagues going forward, whether it's with the Brewers or not, we'll see. But I'm really impressed with what I've seen from him this year.
Yeah, he's got a really, really sweet left-handed swing. I watched him just wrap some balls down in the right field corner. Some really good swing. But yeah, 270, three home runs, seven stolen bases, 16 walks and 30 strikeouts. He's played really well. I've been impressed. Double A, to me, is where it's kind of the make or break for a prospect. And I think that's where you see a lot of really good pitching prospects kind of dominate. And so to be able to hit, you know, 275, I think he's really held his own. Speaking of pitching prospects dominating at the double A level, let's talk about my guy, Ethan Small here. He's somebody we talked about Aaron Ashby earlier and him kind of making that transition to the bullpen. I think they could do the same with Ethan Small if they wanted to. I know he's still at double A. They probably got to promote him at some point. Kind of surprised he hasn't been already, being a college arm. But I think he's somebody that could have an impact at the big league level later in the year coming out of the bullpen as well. He's been absolutely dominating at double A.
Yeah, nice segue there, by the way. That was smooth. Ethan Small has been absolutely ridiculous. 8 starts, 1.96 ERA, 67 strikeouts, and 41 and a third. I mean, he's just been electric there in Biloxi. And perhaps part of that is being back in Mississippi. I mean, he went to Mississippi State, and now he's down in Biloxi. And you know, I think the local crowd there certainly enjoys having him and enjoys seeing him again. And I know Garrett Green, the Shuckers broadcaster, is not exactly excited about everyone trying to say, "Hey, promote this guy away from Biloxi." He's like, "Wait, no, I like him." But yeah, that's something I could totally see happening. I mean, Craig Council said back in spring training that Small and Ashby are two guys that are really kind of putting themselves in a spot where we could see them pitch for the Brewers this season and get themselves a call up. Ashby is a little bit ahead of Small at the moment since he's already, you know, pushed into the bullpen and already at AAA. But Small, I'm kind of curious why they haven't called him up yet. Maybe they want to keep him as a starter, but he's someone that I could see maybe in September they call up to, you know, be an extra arm down the stretch and probably in the bullpen. They may not want to make that transition just yet, but that's something I could totally see them doing. And then he's able to audition for a more full-time role in 2022.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ashby has like 150 more innings in pro ball.
I mean, he's drafted a year earlier, so that does help him a little bit. Yeah.
So that's probably holding Small back a little bit. They just want to see him get some more work in the pro ball, which I understand. But I mean, he is 24. He's a college pitcher coming out of the SEC, which is basically like low A baseball. So I mean, he has, you know, a lot of good experience. Wouldn't be surprised they become a little more aggressive with him. Like you said, I'm surprised they haven't already. But yeah, he's been absolutely great to start the year. Really excited about him. And then let's talk about your guy, Hedbert Perez here.
Yes.
Go ahead and mention him. Obviously, haven't, you know, seen anything on him this year. Not sure where they have him starting or if he'll even be in, you know, minor league ball. He may just play in the Dominican League or
no, something. No, he's going to be in Arizona.
Oh, Arizona
he's,
League.
He's been okay. He's been in Arizona at extended spring training at Complex Ball there. Been lighting it up. He's been posting a couple of videos of home runs that he's hitting. He's just hit some massive shots. The Brewers player development Twitter just posted a video of his latest one today. He's just been lighting it up. But yeah, so he's in Arizona, and he's going to be starting in the Arizona Complex League, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, as you can see, David's got stalker status on Hedbert Perez. It's his guy.
I am also the leader of the Hedbert Perez hype train.
did you get that Bowman first auto of him?
I did not. I did not get an auto of him, but maybe one day.
Yeah,
maybe one day.
But what excites you so much about this guy? We saw him in spring training a little bit too. You could just see the athleticism. But what overall excites you the most about him?
It's that five-tool potential, man. I mean, just the hitting ability, the – his swing is so smooth. I mean, just like left-handed swings, you know, except for mine, are so smooth in general. But his is just such a smooth swing, especially for such a young player. And he's just got that pure hitting ability. He's got the potential for some more plus power as he kind of, you know, grows into his body and gains, you know, perhaps a little bit more muscle. Just incredible speed and defense. I mean, we saw it. He robbed Luis Robert of the White Sox of a base hit in spring training with a diving catch. I mean, just five tool potential, great hitting ability, really good power to tap into, can stick in center field long-term. You know, we'll see if, you know, Garrett Mitchell's probably going to beat him to that. So, you know, perhaps he could, you know, go to right field or left field or wherever, but just really great hitter, such a young age, such a smooth swing, and just someone that, you know, also just, you know, maturity wise, character wise, you know, that's something that you've seen a lot of the Brewers executives, Brewers officials talk about, is that he's such a mature kid for 18 years old and coming out of Venezuela. And he's just got, you know, he's got his head on straight, really good work ethic and just really, you know, there to learn from, when he was there in spring training, just learning from the top guys and just kind of soaking it all in. I mean, this is someone that not only has the skills and has the tangible skills, but has all the intangibles that you want to.
Yeah, for sure. Excited about him. Can't wait because I can see some, you know, stats on paper.
Yes,
for him.
I cannot wait for that. I believe it's another week, I think, until – Arizona Complex Ball starts.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting. Get some even more video on him. Will be a lot of fun to watch.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And right now you have the NHL and NBA postseasons in full swing, as well as the Major League Baseball season with games every night. So there's a lot of sports action to get in on, but BetOnline.ag does more than that. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to betonline.ag right now on your phone or internet browser and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days, it's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store and just hoping they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone and find any make and model of any kind of auto part that you need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. So why spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? Just head on over to rockauto.com right there on your phone, search the parts you need, buy them, have them shipped to you, and just sit back and wait for them to arrive. Again, go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your vehicle and do us a favor. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliable low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
I know you said you're in the early stages of doing your updated top 50, but who are some guys you see jumping up on your list when you do the update?
Yeah, so I got a bunch of guys that are going to be jumping up a little bit. Aaron Ashby is probably going to be bumping up another spot or two. He was at number 7 on my initial list. Hefferson Cuero, 18-year-old catcher, he's probably going to be jumping up a little bit as well. We'll see how he does in Arizona complex ball. David Hamilton, he was at 29 in my initial list. He's going to be bumping up a little bit. Joey Weimer has looked a little bit better. He might bump up a few spots. Javon Ward, Joe Gray Jr. is going to be bumping up a lot from the low 40s. And then Corey Howell didn't even make my initial top 50. He's going to be jumping up a whole bunch too with the way that he's been playing. So, you know, a lot of guys have been performing well, and they're going to be moving up, taking some spots on guys that either graduated or left. You know, Tyrone Taylor has graduated. Jacob Nottingham, Phil Bickford are gone. Drew Rasmussen got traded. So there's some spots to take in the top 50, and a bunch of guys are going to be coming up to claim them.
Yeah, for sure. It's been it was tough, you know, because obviously there was no minor league ball last year, so we don't have a lot of information on some of these prospects. So it's been great to see be able to see that, you know, for a couple of months now, give you a better idea of where they are. On the opposite end of that, who are some prospects that are going to be falling on your list that haven't gotten off to great starts or have lost some luster?
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that are going to be falling. Zach Brown, I don't think we've seen him pitch at all this year. It's kind of, he had like shoulder fatigue in spring training. I don't even think he's come back and has been able to pitch yet. So really kind of mysterious that there's been no news on him. Hayden Cantrell's gotten off to a slow start in high A. Same with Nick Cale. They just haven't done quite as much offensively. They're going to be dropping down. So are a bunch of pitchers. You know, I'm not sure what it is with the pitchers down there, but Noah Zavolas has gotten off to a slow start. Leo Crawford hasn't really done as well in double A. Caden Lemons, I had him in at number 50 on my list. And, you know, that's just, you know, based on the potential, you know, they drafted him highly. He was coming back from injury, should be healthy. He's just had a really rough season so far. Now I believe he's hurt again. And just really kind of pitching poorly. So he's going to end up falling off the list. But yeah, there's a couple pitchers that just kind of haven't been performing as well. And a couple of the hitters like Cale and Cantrell have been off to slow starts.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's finish with this. Going after the season, how many Brewers prospects will be in the top 100, and who will they be? Overall prospects, MLB.
Ooh.
Because right now they
have, at the end of the season?
They have two right now, right?
Yeah. With Mitchell and Terang.
Yeah. End of the season. Yep.
End of the season, I could see three, possibly four, depending on how they view someone like Ethan Small or Aaron Ashby. Because, I mean, historically, the top 100s have not accurately rated Brewers pitchers. I mean, Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns were pretty low on those prospects lists. And they had guys like Luis Ortiz that were much higher and, you know, haven't really turned out to anything. So, you know, we'll see how accurately they grade someone like Small or Ashby, but I think Hedbert Perez is going to put himself up into that top 100 conversation. You know, whether it be, you know, real life, I think fantasy wise, he's already there. When it comes, if you're looking at like dynasty fantasy level stuff, but if you're just looking at, you know, like pure, like your MLB pipeline, whatever list, I think Hedbert Perez could reach the top 100 by the end of the year. You know, gets off to a strong start there in rookie ball. He's really going to be jumping up that list.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right, David, thank you so much for joining us. Let everybody know where they can find you and your work.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at dgasper24. You can find my work at Reviewing the Brew. Also, do you know, articles occasionally for Prospects 1500 as well, but most of my stuff is going to be at Reviewing the Brew. And I'm really kind of digging into the draft now. We're less than 3 weeks away from the MLB draft, looking at draft prospects the Brewers could, potentially take in the first round and perhaps some mid-round guys. So we'll have a lot more draft content and, just kind of either prospect profiles or just kind of other general draft stuff to help get fans prepared for that and kind of what to expect and who to really kind of look for the Brewers.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure you go and check out David on Twitter. Like I said, DGasper24 and all of his work at Reviewing the Brew and Prospects 1500 do a lot of good work over there. But David, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man, for having me on.
That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Again, thank you to David for jumping on and having a good conversation with us about the Brewers, where they are at this point in the season, and taking a look at some prospects as well. Make sure that you follow David, DGaspar24, and check his work out at Reviewing the Brew, as he talked about. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. And make sure that you please follow and subscribe the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.